questions that could reveal your purpose in life? What if there were questions that could surface the change most meaningful to you? And what if answering those questions would give you the power to ignite? Welcome to the Illumify Game Changer podcast. These are big conversations that lead to self-discovery. Together, let's embark on the leader's journey and ignite meaningful change. For a leader's vision to ultimately ignite, others first have to hear it, relate to it, and remember it well enough to think and act on it. When that's done right, well, they can even carry the vision beyond the leader's own reach. In this episode, Jonathan questions whether or not the way he currently expresses his vision is going to be easy enough for them to repeat. Jonathan, having answered the last number of cards and had those conversations, and we've just watched a few videos together, do you have a better sense of your messaging now and how to create it, how to craft it?
Yes, I do. Both in terms of what the language is doing, what it's trying to do at this moment in the process, amplify, where we're trying to bring people into the collective, as we might choose to call it, and to get them to support this, the moment of change. And we ended the conversation, I think, with some very interesting ideas about the need to come back down from the vision, which at this stage is necessarily up there in the clouds in some way. It can't help but be a little bit conceptual at this stage. That's normal when we're talking about dignity, freedom. These are big values. Our need for each other. So we talked about the need to bring it down to a form of language, and we discussed different techniques for doing this, where people will feel not only that this speaks to them, that they can get their arms around it, but it's also part of their lives. There is a promise for them somewhere within this vision. So that was about language and the important choices we make about language. We also had a very good conversation, I think, about the necessary suppleness in this, that the just as the vision is not rigid, because the vision is, as we said, if this particular vision is going to be true to itself, it's constantly questioning itself and letting in new evidence. It's a living, breathing vision because it's out there in the world. It's not static. It's not a stone. And that led us to the idea that we should have the confidence as we try different pieces of language, different stories, to find some pull and push there, provided. And this brings me back to the very good point you made about integrity. We still need to keep integrity at all times so that whichever manifestation of the vision that we're talking about and whichever particular speech we're making or piece of text that we're using or images even, sound, at all times we should be maintaining the integrity of the vision so that people start to feel familiar with it, even as they might be hearing a different form of words, a different story. It still
or
needs
even
to,
a different aspect or even of a different your multifaceted aspect. Vision.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. They need to feel that it's coming from the same source, that it's infused with the same spirit, that it's coming from the same place, so that they develop a familiarity with it. So that was about the messaging. Taking a step back and looking at the process that we're inside here, and we're moving towards the end of Amplify now and looking forward to Unify, there is something there that I've learned through our conversations as a team around the table. We've all been heavily involved in the conversation this afternoon. And the learning for me here was that There is a moment of communication here, which I'm understanding now, the word amplify. There's another word you used, Marianne, which I think is really good, resonance. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's this idea that long before the moment that you stand and actually communicate the vision to the wider world, whatever audience that is, it might just be my mother over a coffee, it could be five people in a town hall.
It could be 5,000 people.
It could be 5,000. It could be
500,000 people.
Or me ranting at a bus stop in Copenhagen.
Well, there's an image.
So we're not there yet. We're not yet. And what we're looking for, we're seeing how the story resonates. And I can see the difference. I can feel the difference. I see it in the words here. At this moment, we're seeing whether there is juice in this thing, yeah? Whether it's got the emotional energy, where it needs fine-tuning in the words, but also, again, when it's the fine-tuning which is not, it's not the final speech and taking out this word or taking out that word at the end of the process. That's further down the line, I think. It's actually getting under the machine here. It's getting under the bonnet of the car, getting into the machinery and saying, does this hang together? Does this work? Are we going to lose people here?
What's the spark plug?
Yes, exactly. Is this a little bit too conceptual? Is it a little bit, how do we bring this down to a human practical level? And we did that. We had those conversations that were revolving around that. And Jean's great word, integrity, running through all of it, where what we're not doing here is looking for the trickery of words that will dilute it, give a little bit of sweetener, a bit of sugar to sweeten it for the audience, or fool them into thinking it's something else. We're searching for the truth of the vision here, but we understand that language has to be supple and accommodate the different needs, interests, assumptions of the audience, or just where they are
today. Just where they are at this moment.
Right
in
now.
Time,
yeah.
Right
yeah.
now.
So all of this has been quite intimate.
Because it is meant to be intimate. Even when you're speaking to thousands at a time, it is about speaking in the way that you and they connect.
Yes, exactly.
To bridge the separation.
Yes.
That chasm that exists not only between us, all of us right now in society, but between and in and among ourselves.
Mm. Yes.
So connection will do that energetically to start, which in itself can be a spark.
Yeah.
And then you put your words on what it is.
Mm. Yes.
That you're sparking them to.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's also, I think we've let in the idea that there's a first letting go here, for want of a better word. I keep coming back to this image of those first milliseconds where you, even a story which is so full of colour and power and that you feel is your story, you've crafted this story. It might be an anecdote, but it may be a longer story with an arc, as you said, and with tension in it and a dramatic ending. Even then, the moment you start the story, to some degree it ceases to be yours. Because like with any piece of fiction, the audience is already imagining it in their own way.
Yes.
You may have chosen your words really, really carefully and got the timing just right. But actually, it's already with them. And that's, as you just said, that there's actually a start of a conversation there. Yeah. There's an exchange happening there. And if there's energy there and warmth and heat, that's resonating, and then if you've got the language right, you're getting a reaction and a willingness to act and to join,
because
to step up.
That being about them at that point, as you said, even in different ways, now they're embracing your vision to whatever degree. They're maybe pulling it apart, pulling a thread of it. Now it starts to become theirs. And that is so essential when you need them. It's not a change, a vision you can realize on your own. It has to be meaningful to them in order for them to help, to engage and to align around the actions, fulfill the actions and the words. Because the thing about messaging and Amplify is full of the various aspects of messaging. It's about igniting them. It's about beginning to align them. But the thing about messaging is that it's going to spark action, but it's also going to start to forge, to build commitment to them. And the aspects of messaging that are important, we haven't covered them all in these questions, so I want to bring a few more out because they are significant to the next two and final cards in Amplify. Whenever we speak, we iterate, we evoke, we emit a lot of different words, tons of words in some cases. So when we're speaking to a group or an individual about, and when you are speaking about your vision, they're going to hear a lot of words. Depending on the length of the interaction you have with them, the communication could be tens of thousands of words. So of all that you say to them, what are they going to recall? And we just did a little exercise in that. What are they going to recall? So this is where you have to help them by ensuring that based on what you know they need to hear at that moment in time, those things stand out. I call them, they are key messages, but I also call them the headlines of your communication so that anyone listening could leave the room and someone could ask them, what did Jonathan Hill just say? They could recall those key things, those key messages. We've spoken again off recording about the number of messages being critical, three, because our brains remember, we are programmed as brains in our human form to remember in patterns of three. So three key messages, which then are three, in effect, headlines of your communication, are really essential because if you give them more than three and tell them, focus on these seven or these four or these 15. I know people who go in with 20 messages to impart. You tell them that and their brains can only consume three and remember three. Then you are increasing the risk of them emerging from that communication, which is your prime opportunity to develop first awareness and then commitment to your vision. So you are increasing the probability, the risk, that of the 20 messages you're delivering, the three they're going to remember are not the most important three. So if you give them more than three, they will drop, and you don't want them to drop the three essentials that you know will move them from point A to point B in that first iteration with them or the 15th. Again, at that moment in time, where are they at? And where can they move to? And if you give them fewer than three messages, if you give them two or one, their brains will fill in the others. It's how our brains work. So those others might, as I said earlier, refute, dilute, contradict, confuse what you want them to hear, remember, and think and act upon. So the messages you impart should be the headlines of your communication, meaning they stand above the rest. They are easy to identify. And sometimes that is done through, well, it's always done through the words. The key messages, the headlines have to have a strong verb in them. They can't be banal, like, it's important you listen. Okay. So we don't want banalities or platitudes. We want something distinct to stand out that triggers their brain that, A, this is different, this is significant to them, it's important they remember, it's important they hear. There's a lot of work that goes into key messaging. Mm-hmm. There is a return on investment that is really invaluable when you get them right. And it doesn't mean that they are static. Because again, when they need, as you've said, to be always what you say has to be in integrity with your vision. You can't deviate from that. But there are messages you will constantly and consistently deliver that are central to their everyone's understanding of your vision. For example, the truth. You have your 3 points. Those could be your prime with some verbiage around them, your prime key messages. And every time they hear you, you will repeat those. But you can also refine them, take that concept and make it more granular once they've heard you before and tailor it to always to them to some degree, but to exactly now, where have they moved to? What do they need to hear next? So there's a lot that goes into key messaging, and I know you've already put a lot of effort into developing your key messages. We have 2 more questions for you, and then we will have completed Amplify, and I would hope that in the wake of all of this, you can go back to your key messages and refine.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Can they easily repeat what you've said about this change? Unless they understand it well enough and can replicate what you've said with ease and confidence, they won't echo it. Can they easily repeat what you've said about this change? This is why we have the t-shirts, isn't it? We have the t-shirts.
T-shirts, hats.
So they look at each other and they see the words in front of each other.
Shared home.
There you go.
Speak truth. Diversity.
Yes. That was where it starts to sound like 1984.
It's the opposite of 1984.
Yeah. I hope.
Definitely. Definitely.
Can they easily repeat what you said about this change? I feel that there are parts of the vision and how they are sort of naturally distilling into key messages that will lend themselves, I think, to easy remembering and repeating, because there is something simple in the language, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm thinking particularly of the truth part. I think the truth has to lend itself to simple language in some way, otherwise you start to defeat your own purpose a little bit. When we talk about the dignity, the soul and the dignity of each individual, wherever they're born, a little bit more complicated. We've discussed this. It's intimate language, and I feel needs to be at this stage. I'm open to persuasion inside my own head on that, and the suggestions of others. I'm looking around the table, but I think I see a first challenge there. We use soul readily and we throw it around with soul music. Something has soul, which is great and is also important in its own way. I need to find a way to get the wording on that, I think, to do it justice.
Interesting, the history of that. Don't you wonder? I mean, soul music comes from black culture.
Yes.
But who coined the term?
I have no idea. I'd love to know.
Yeah, I would too. Yeah, I'd love to know.
Yeah. We've talked already about the necessary complexity, about my notion of diversity, which is not in any way superseding or substituting or replacing the important notions of visible outward identity that we see on our streets, in our neighbourhoods, in our schools, the people around us. So the visible identities of gender, ethnicity, culture, heritage. But what is important to this particular vision is that inner diversity within us. And we've talked at length about that. And we've talked about the complexity of that. And there's no, we can't dodge that. We shouldn't smooth that out or dilute it so that it becomes simpler. So there will be a challenge there. The end of the message where we say, you know, we need each other, that part of it, I think, will lend itself to a simpler language.
Simpler, but compelling.
Yes.
Your messages
yes.
have to be compelling.
Absolutely, yes.
They
yes.
have to be heard
yes.
In order to be remembered, and they have to be remembered in order to be repeated.
Yes.
So what is compelling? How do you create compelling? Mm. How is that manifested? Mm-hmm. And it strikes me here, Jonathan, you remember we spoke about declarations as one of the five speech acts?
Yep.
And that we hear leadership through declarations. There are other types of declarations, like judicial, you know, I find you guilty, I've changed, that declaration changes someone's social reality. I marry you, that changes someone's social reality. The Declaration of Independence, mm-hmm. constitutions are declarations. A vision, mm-hmm. however, every vision is a declaration. Not every declaration is a vision, but every vision is a declaration where mm-hmm. it gives you the opportunity to use it as the vehicle to declare what could be that isn't now.
Yes.
And when I look even now at the messages you have identified, but certainly some of them you've said vocally this afternoon, do you see that each of them is actually not only a message, but a declaration?
Yeah, very much so. Very much so.
That's not yeah. always the case.
Yeah.
But it is an opportunity mm. for a declaration.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
declarations in themselves give people the permission to act by declaring what could be that isn't now.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So there's almost not a double entendre, but a double purpose to your particular messaging. So why do you think it's important for them to be able to easily repeat your messaging, what you're saying about this change? Don't reread the prompt. It gives you
no. It's funny. I'm suddenly taken back to training that I used to give in a previous life, maybe two previous lives ago, many years ago, on clear writing. So that the whole idea of making your writing easier on the eye of the reader.
Okay.
All sorts of ways of doing mm-hmm. that. And you will know some of these mm-hmm. short sentences. Verbs.
Imagine that.
Radical.
Verbs are
radical.
Action.
And the active voice rather than
yes.
the passive. You know.
Yes, absolutely.
Treaties are never signed. They are never signed. We proudly sign the treaty. Or
yes, right, yeah.
So there's something here about clarity.
Okay,
I think
I'm going to draw a distinction here because you're talking about clear writing and very important, absolutely. And there will be instances, maybe many, in which you write your vision so that others read it. However, we're focused now on your speaking your vision, because from a leadership perspective, from someone who is a visionary, no offense, but it's easy for us to hide behind our words, to write them with care and whatever, and then stay home or stay in our cave and send them out forth. You, however, are the emissary for your vision. So when you actually speak those words, it will have a different impact. And here's the distinction I want to draw. You're absolutely right that clear writing should be easy on the eye. Short sentences, not too short, not conforming to the horribly short attention span or the soundbite era we're in. But yes, easy to comprehend, easy enough to comprehend and read, no barriers to that. But for the eye, the difference is when you are speaking, it is about the ear. And too many people will write, and you know this from your speech writing, they'll write the words and they'll write them as if they're being read, where people have the opportunity to go back and reread a paragraph, reread a line, stop and reflect on it. They don't have that opportunity when you are speaking words. So they are hearing your words. Your words are invisible to them. They're hearing them, and you're continuing to speak. There are rhetorical techniques to helping them hear, obviously, but at its heart, what you're saying has to be meaningful enough for them to listen, right? So this is about writing, if you're writing it, for the ear, not the eye. And there's a huge difference in that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So why is it important that they can easily repeat what you said about your vision, about this change?
Well, it's that you described it earlier, where somebody walks away from a meeting, walks away from the hall, and somebody says, oh, were you there? What did he say? And that person needs to be able to say quickly and easily what she heard.
So they become your ambassadors, don't they?
At that
emissaries.
At that particular moment, yes. Yeah. They are passing something on.
Think of that from the perspective of igniting your vision. Now it's gone beyond you. It's not entirely dependent on you speaking it. Now you've got people hearing it and carrying it with them when you do it right, messaging wise, etc., carrying it with them to their worlds. And now your vision is starting. There's a building of awareness outside of you, lifting off some of the load. But what's really significant, vital here, is that what they go away with is consistent, congruent, as is in alignment with the integrity of your vision.
Yes. Yeah.
They are effective and true ambassadors for it. Absolutely. No deception at their end either.
And getting a vision of him being the spark that lights the kindling that goes to feed the fire.
Yep. That ignites the fire. Yep. Beautiful.
Yep.
So anything else you want to add to this? Can they easily repeat what you've said about the chain?
I'm just looking at the word underneath, and unless they understand it well enough. And I think what's important here is what we understand from the word understand.
Yes.
And it's, again, we are not in the realm of information here, factual information. That's not where we are. They need to understand it well enough. And what they need to understand is, I'm going back to that marriage of urgency, which needs to be the vision, and the different expressions of the vision need to carry that. I think.
Yeah.
I think that needs to be there in the DNA, and not because, you know, with every sentence we say, and this matters now. It needs to be woven into the actual substance of the vision, that this is urgent.
Yeah.
You know, it takes us back to that, one of those very, very early, very early conversations we had about the intolerable. So we've reached a moment where we cannot tolerate the status quo.
Exactly.
So that's where the urgency comes from.
Yeah.
And that needs to be come through clearly and with emotional force in the vision itself. Needs to be embedded in the vision, and how we talk about it.
So if we added, and I'm really glad you went in on that word, understand, because we don't want to create the perception that understanding is coming from the mind.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
It is. So go beyond that.
It's understanding in the form of an emotional reaction, energy,
they feel
enthusiasm.
The significance of it.
Yes,
they
yes.
feel that
yeah.
and know, yeah. maybe know, that it matters.
Yeah. because if the effect we're looking for here is somebody easily repeating something, well, if they have a desire to repeat it, a wish and an energy, then they're halfway there.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's at some raw level, that's excitement. What do we do when we're excited? We can't wait to tell the next person we're excited.
Yeah.
You've seen a great film. A couple of times last year I saw a great film and I just had to ring a friend.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't wait.
Right.
I had to ring a friend.
Yeah.
My God, this was amazing.
Because we like to share too.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's a natural.
To spark others to benefit from
something.
Yes,
we do want to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So can you read the card one last time?
Can they easily repeat what you've said about this change? Unless they understand it well enough and can replicate what you've said with ease and confidence, they won't echo it. And I think that word confidence is important. That confidence surely must come from their beginning to take their own ownership of this.
Yes.
And a little bit of responsibility. And
Because they have certainty on what it is. They know what it is.
Yes, yes.
And why it matters, why it's significant.
Yes, yes, yes.
So confident that confidence in it, in the vision, and in their ability to impart it on your behalf.
Yes. Yes.
And confidence can spark action.
Yeah.
In its own right.
And I think we're confident when we say, perhaps silently, we don't necessarily announce it to anybody else, but we have that confidence where we feel, I know what this is about. I've got my head around this.
Yes.
Not in any intellectual way, but I get this. I know what this
is
about.
Well, it's also, you said, take it on. It's integrating it.
Yeah.
Into their own integral within.
And that comes back to the messaging where that couple, one part of the couple was the sense of urgency, and then the other part was bringing it down to a more granular. I liked the word you use, granular level, where it's not only something that they can get their arms around and take hold of, but it's actually part of their landscape, their life. Has meaning for them and their family. They can see it.
Yeah, they see where it fits.
Yes. So the vision has been brought down from the level of language and concept into something that they can really get to grips with
and relate to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. As a leader, when you have a title with positional authority over others and you ask them to act, well, they should. They don't always, of course. But when, like Jonathan, you don't have positional authority, it's all the more essential that you convey your vision of change so that it becomes meaningful to those who can help you ignite it. Or, as Jonathan said, it becomes part of their landscape, their life. That's yet another reason why a leader's words matter. And why there are so many questions in the Amplify level of the Illumify Game Changer designed to make it matter to others. This episode takes us near the end of Amplify, where we head next into Unify. You may notice that we're already speaking about action more and more. That's because a leader's vision depends on the actions of others to help realize it. As Jonathan sees in this conversation, some parts of his vision are going to be simple for them to repeat. Others will not yet. As a writer, it's not his pen that has to express his vision. It's his voice. He has to speak it. So his messaging must be written for the ear, not the eye. That's always important when speaking, but essential if you want others to be able to repeat what you've said. And that's the ultimate aim.
when others become willing ambassadors for your vision. The leader's journey continues. Stay tuned. To this Illumify Game Changer podcast is of value to you, please like it on this platform and share it with those who could ignite meaningful change. It's here, as am I, to be of service. I'm Marianne Gobet. Thank you for accompanying us on the leader's journey. To fully experience the passage to igniting meaningful change, subscribe to the Illumify Game Changer podcast. To learn more about the Illumify Game Changer and how to embark on your own leader's journey, please visit Illumify's website at illumifyinstitute.com. You matter. Step up. Speak up. Together, let's ignite meaningful change.